All right, I'd like you to join me in reading from God's Word. We'll be reading from John chapter 14 in your pew Bibles. It is 875, page number. So John 14, starting at verse 15 to 21. This Bible is entitled, Jesus Promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. So he will be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Well, I'd like to come up and share the message.
Good morning. Welcome here. I'll be filling in for Pastor Don today. He was gone during the week at a conference in Lethbridge, I believe, for the E-Free National Conference. So I'll be filling in for him here today, and I'd like to thank all those that have prayed for me as I prepared. I appreciate that, and needed that as well. And also at this time, I'd like to encourage you to pray for another young gentleman that will be bringing the message on June 2nd. Josh Decker will be preaching that weekend, again, just to allow Don to do other stuff and have the day off. So if you could remember to pray for him as well, that'd be great. Later on in June, we are anticipating the arrival of Chad and Sarah Freeman, the pastor, associate pastor that is coming. And so we look forward to them joining us here, and they will help with preaching and so on as well. So pray for Chad and Sarah as well as they prepare to come. It's a big move. And pray for our church that we would know how to receive them and that God would do his work through that pastor couple there. Does anybody this morning, does anybody know Ken Davis? Raise your hand if you've heard of Ken Davis. Sure you have, right? Well, just in case somebody hasn't, I'll explain a little bit who he is. Ken Davis is a Christian comedian that tells jokes. Oh, that was the punchline, sorry. He focuses on bringing joy to Christians through comedy, and I like comedy myself. I really enjoy comedy, and so I'd like to share some with you. I think comedy is very good for the soul, and it's good for us. And sometimes when we show up at church Sunday morning, we're not quite ready to receive any kind of message from God just yet. We're here, but getting here can be a challenge. Sunday mornings can be a little tough, and just showing up as a family is somewhat of a miracle on some Sundays for our family, as a family in one car. Getting here together can be a challenge. At least I don't think that's just me. I think it happens to other people as well. It's like you wake up Sunday morning and you look at the clock and, oh, 8:30. Really? 8:30? Wow. Is it time change weekend again? Like, did somebody switch my clock? Honey, are you sure it's 8:30? You know, every other week during the week, any other day, it's like the kids are on the bus by 8. I'm gone to work by 7:30, but Sunday morning, man, Sunday school at 9:30 is tough. It's a challenge. Just before you walk out the door, somebody says, wait, I can't find my Bible. Yeah, well, sounds familiar. And the other one says, what can I bring to do at church? Kids are a blessing. They allow you to practice your patience and your self-control every Sunday. And then when you get to church, it's like you get there and you walk in the door and you're trying to be happy and because you know somebody's going to greet you and shake your hand and say, hey, how's it going? And well, you know the response. It's going great, great. We made it to church. But if you get past all that and then you get to the sanctuary and it's we start singing worship songs. Worship songs are difficult when you're not in the right mood. Have you experienced that? You start singing and the song is, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Like, why do they keep asking where? They can't see it? Are you sure it's down there? Well, praise God. You're all here. Thanks for coming. And if anybody showed up early, you now know there's no Sunday school and long weekends. Come again next week. So before we get started with the message, I'd like to open in a word of prayer. And so if you'd bow with me, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for allowing us to come here. And thank you for allowing us to bring all our cares, all our struggles, our joys, and our sorrows, and just asking us to bring them all to you, Lord. We thank you for that. God, I pray that you would allow us to find peace by your grace this morning. Lord, I also ask for the ability to share your word clearly as you have laid on my heart. I pray in your holy name. Amen. So church is maybe a little bit emptier than normal, but is there any young boys here this morning? Let's say maybe boys 10 and under. Any boys 10 and under, raise your hand. Let's see if you've got anybody out there. Yeah, we got a few. A couple there. Some shy ones. Some over here. Some want to be 10 and under. For those boys, now, who do you think is more powerful? Do you think you or your dad would be more powerful? If you think your dad is more powerful, raise your hand again. Let's see who thinks their dad would be more powerful. Sure, right? And how many of you maybe wish you were more powerful like your dad? Huh? Yeah. Now, what about the adults? How many of the, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of the adults would maybe, you know, would be kind of nice if you were a little bit more powerful, maybe not in the same sense as the kids are thinking, the boys are thinking might, right? They want to be strong and lift heavy things. That's cool. But for adults, how many would like a little bit more power? Maybe some kind of power to control your attitude a little bit, keep your emotions in check sometimes. Maybe you would like more power to stand up for what you believe in when you out in public somewhere and your beliefs are being questioned. How many would like to be a little bit more powerful in defending their beliefs? Or maybe you'd like a little bit more power to govern a place, an organization, to be able to govern it diligently and do it in a way that would show people Christ and like a little more power in that way. See, as adults, I think we do desire a little more power in many different ways. And this morning, I want to look at a power that is available to all Christians. It's unlimited power, and we call him the Holy Spirit. So what do you already know about the Holy Spirit? You probably have many different ideas and thoughts in your head about who he is. And as we look at Scripture, and I want to focus on just three key points this morning, very basic points. See, the Holy Spirit, we can never cover in one Sunday. So I thought I'd just get to the very bottom of and focus on three things. And I want to focus on the promise of the Holy Spirit. Was the Holy Spirit promised in the Bible? And then secondly, I want to look at, is there any proof? Is there proof that the Holy Spirit did come? And then the difficult one, what about today? The Holy Spirit in the present. Where is the Holy Spirit now? Now, mentioning the Holy Spirit in a conversation, we'll quite often bring up the event in the Bible that we call Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came with on the disciples there. And also, it quite often stirs up many different emotions, different thoughts, Christians and non-Christians alike. Most people will gravitate towards one of two theologies, either pro-charismatic or non-charismatic. And basically, this the way I would sum it up, it refers to what you believe about the Holy Spirit, how he works in people, if people receive him, how he's received, when he's received, many different different ideas there. And this morning, I'm not going to answer all those questions, but rather, like I said, I just want to focus on the three basic things. Did God send the Holy Spirit? Sorry, was he promised? And then was there any proof? And then what about today? So if you want to follow along with your Bible, we're going to start with some scripture here right off the bat. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 3 and in verse 11. And I'll give you a minute to turn there if you'd like. And I think it's great if you can follow along. And I understand you don't have your Bibles marked ahead of time. That's why it takes a little bit longer. That's okay. So Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, we have John the Baptist speaking. And here's what he says. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. And then what? And then it says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So here we have John the Baptist saying that somebody will come and baptize with the Holy Spirit. So already there's a word given, and that indicates the coming of the Holy Spirit. But we'll keep looking. We'll see if we can find more. And so if you want to turn from there, you can turn to Mark. Mark chapter 1. And I'll be reading in verse 8. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 8, we read, it says, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So it almost sounds like we read the same verse, but it's a different verse, a different book. And it's a pretty good indication, again, of what I would call a promise. In fact, if we keep going, there's many places where we can find the promise of the Holy Spirit coming. One thing I found interesting, when we look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we call them the Gospels, the four books of the Gospel, we find the Holy Spirit being promised in each book. And I took note of that because it's almost like all four writers were given the indication or the command, or God was telling them to write down the promise of the Holy Spirit. So I think it's a very important thing to note. All four books mention it. And this leads me to believe that it isn't actually, yeah, like I said, indeed very important. But that's not all. There's another reference that I'd like to highlight. It's in the book of John. And if you want to turn there, in the book of John chapter 16. So in these other references that we looked at was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that was each one of them speaking, whatever. And here we have Jesus speaking in John chapter 16, verse 7 to 15. We have Jesus speaking, and this is what Jesus says. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So this is Jesus speaking, and we can see that it's pretty clear that the Holy Spirit was indeed promised. So what happened after that? If the Holy Spirit was promised, did he actually come as he was promised? Because a promise with no proof, is it just a promise? Is there any parents here today that have young kids or have had young kids? I see lots. So you guys know, maybe there's been a scenario where you were giving your kids a promise, like maybe a promise that would encourage some better behavior, you know, like when we get home, that kind of a promise. And how long did it take until that promise needed some proof? See, if it's just a promise, it's hard to create some action. The kids will act out of faith for a little while, like, oh, it's probably should behave a little better because I was given the promise and it probably will happen, but until there's proof, see, that wears off sometimes, so we need proof. And sometimes we, like the kids, we also act in faith, but then we also need a promise, or the proof for the promise. So we need to look like, where's the proof for this? Well, turn with me to Acts in chapter 1. So in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, and here we can see the promise is so close. It says, for John baptized with water, but in a few days he will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So now this is getting really close. It's like we're almost there. So let's keep going. Let's turn a little bit further and go to Acts chapter 2. And I'll read from verse 1 to 12. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" What does that mean? When I read these verses, I get excited. Because this means that God sent the Holy Spirit. And we see what it does to these people. We see the proof in the transformation that happens. We see when the living God came to be with his disciples, with that group of people, when they were gathered in prayer and they received the Holy Spirit like he promised, when God came to earth to be the helper and the advocate, we see some proof. We see proof in the transformation of the disciples. And we can read in the book of Acts that they were plain people, untaught, maybe we'd call them rednecks, fishermen from Galilee. When the Holy Spirit came, all of a sudden they were speaking languages that they had never heard before. They had never spoke languages like that before. And yet, people that were hearing, they knew that language and they were understanding it. People also heard the sound, it says, like the blowing of a violent wind. See, there was sound of the Holy Spirit coming. And there was also a visual that looked like tongues of fire that came and rested on their disciples. It's a lot of stuff happening, a lot of things going on. Think about that for a bit. People speaking foreign languages, declaring the wonders of God, roaring wind, tongues like fire. God made his presence known. There was no doubting. There was evidence in sound. There was evidence in sight and evidence in action. The promise that Jesus had made was fulfilled. See, Jesus knew that this was a big thing. And before he left, he tried to explain to his disciples how he had to go to be with the Father. He had to leave them in order for him to send a helper, as we read earlier. And at that time, the disciples probably couldn't understand why this had to be. They couldn't see how this would be a good thing. They would lose their friend, their Savior. Why did he have to go to be with God? And Jesus said, I have to go so I can send the Holy Spirit. I will ask God to send the Holy Spirit. And I think about that now, and I must admit that, you know, the thought of living with Jesus on earth, walking and talking with Jesus, sounds incredible. And the disciples, we think of them as being pretty lucky sometimes to have been able to experience that. But how much did they miss out? Did they miss out on things? See, Jesus could only be in one place at one time. He was fully man. And when he came to earth, he could only do what man does. He limited himself to being man. And we look at the story of Lazarus, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. See, he wasn't there. He didn't save him. He came. But time he came, Lazarus had already been dead for 4 days. See, Jesus couldn't be there. He wasn't there. He was human. Now, there's many different aspects to this story, and it's not impossible that God couldn't have saved him. But just for today, I want to think about that Jesus was limited. And it's very different for God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He's everywhere, all the time, at the same time. And before we go on with that, I'd like to even look at some more proof that the Holy Spirit did indeed come to earth. Let's look at after Jesus went to heaven again and the disciples were heading out. And there's many examples given in the scriptures about miracles that they did. They healed lame. Paul, when Eutychus fell out of the window, Paul brought him back to life. He died and Paul raised him from the dead. Earthquakes happened. The one where the prison doors were all opened and the chains were all fell off and the jailer was baptized, and there was a miracle there. Each miracle, in fact, is the Holy Spirit working through people. God is accomplishing his will. In the book of Acts, you can also read where it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. Remember the power that you thought about earlier? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And what happens after the Holy Spirit came to the disciples in Acts? In chapter 2, verse 14 to 47, you can read where Peter stands up and he starts preaching. He was being a witness. He was being a witness for Jesus. Just like a promise, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So that's what was happening. There's proof there. The Holy Spirit had come. Now the promise was being fulfilled. So we've looked at the promise. We're pretty sure that the promise was given. We've looked at the proof. There's lots of proof. What about today? And sometimes we get stuck here. If we back up to the promise, I'll read another scripture verse here. John chapter 7, verse 39. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been yet glorified. See, the Spirit had not been given. There was the promise. And then we go forward. We look at the proof. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled. See, there again, there's proof. Filled with the Holy Spirit as the Spirit enabled. But somehow, when we skip to today, we get stuck thinking about the past. So what do we think when we read? I'll read Ephesians chapter 1, 13 to 14. And it says, you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. We have the Holy Spirit in us as believers. God has promised that he would be with us. He's given us a deposit, a guarantee. Or as Jake read earlier in John chapter 14. And in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Are we living like we have the power of the Holy Spirit? Are we being his witnesses? I'd like to tell you a story. It's an old story. Of a long time ago, there was a man living in Europe. And this was a time when there was no planes, so anybody that wanted to go to one of the Americas, either Canada or United States, they had to come on a ship. That was the only way to come across. And this man was poor. He didn't have a lot of money, so he decided, well, this is something that he wants. And he's going to work towards, and so he saved up all his money. He saved and saved and saved, and he finally had enough, just enough. And he bought that ticket. He bought the ticket to go on the ship. And then he started thinking, what am I going to eat on the ship? Oh, man. Well, finally he decided the cheapest thing that he could do was fill his suitcase with cheese and crackers. That was going to be his meal. That would sustain him for 3 weeks. Not a gourmet choice, but this is what he could afford. So he took, saved up his money, he filled that suitcase, and he got on board the ship and set sail, and he was bound and determined. He was going, this would be worth it. Mealtime came on the ship, and everybody went to the dining hall, and they all sat down and enjoyed their meal, except for this man. He went, took his suitcase. He took out some cheese and crackers as he had rationed, and he ate it off in the corner by himself. Well, he could smell the delicious aroma of the passengers enjoying their gourmet meals, and he could hear the laughter and the joy. He couldn't take part in that. After the meal, he would sometimes hear the passengers as they're walking by, and they would say how full they were and how good the food was. And this poor man really wanted to join the others, but he just had no extra money. He couldn't even go for one meal. It was so bad that sometimes he would wake up dreaming of the food that he could only long for and not take part in. But then finally, he made it. They were getting closer to the end of their journey. And one day there was great excitement on board the ship as they sighted land. And everybody ran up to the deck and they crowded up against the railing there. And as they were looking out towards the land, anticipating their landing, he noticed the waiter crowded up beside him against the railing there. And the waiter said to him, he said, "Sir, can't help but notice. Said, I can't help but notice that each meal that we serve, you always go sit in that corner and you eat your cheese and crackers. Why don't you come into the banquet hall and eat with us?" And the traveler was quiet for a while. See, he was very embarrassed. He didn't want to tell anybody. He couldn't afford it. Finally, he said, "Well, to tell you the truth," he said, "I only had enough money to buy the ticket. There's no money left over for meals." The waiter was quiet for a bit, and then as he thought about it some more, he finally realized, and he raised his eyebrows, and he said, but sir, don't you realize? The meals were included in your ticket." Your meals have been paid for. Friends, is that us today? Are we missing out on a wonderful relationship with our Savior because we don't realize God sent His helper, the Holy Spirit, to be our advocate, our comforter? Now, I understand nobody wants to be that traveler. But remember, he didn't know he was that traveler until it was too late. So this morning, I want to just kind of dare you for a minute, for a little bit. I want to dare you to imagine, what would you do? What would you do if you had the power of the Holy Spirit in you? What would God do through you if you were filled with the Holy Spirit and completely yielded to His will? That's a very big question. Well, in Acts, in chapter 3 and chapter 4, you can read how the disciples, they healed a lame man. And after that, they ended up before the rulers and the elders and the teachers of the law, and they were asked. They're asked, "By what power or what name did you do this?" See, they were yielding to the Holy Spirit. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man that was lame, and are being asked how he was healed, then know this. You and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. This is still the same God we serve today. And I can't help but wonder sometimes, am I holding God back because I forget or don't believe that I have the Holy Spirit in me? That I have the power of the living God in me? Am I eating cheese and crackers and all the gourmet meals I could dream of? They're all paid for. Now let me add one more thought here, because it's not about the man that was healed. That's right. This story was not about the lame man that was healed. We look back and we look to Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and it says, "But you will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes on you." It's talking about being witnesses. And now when we look again at what Peter says after he healed this cripple, he doesn't stop talking after he tells the rulers by whose power he was healed. Yeah, he answers their question and he tells them this was by the power of Jesus. But then he keeps going. And he says, "The stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." See, he shares the gospel with him. And during this whole time, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. The miracle was a vehicle to share the gospel. The disciples, they were all gathered together in one room before Pentecost, and they gathered together in prayer, constant prayer. And I'd like to take a few minutes this morning to pray. See, we've all gathered together here, and we came out here to worship. But I'd also like to spend some time in prayer. So at this time, if you would like to pray, I'd ask you to do that. If there is somebody that feels led to pray out loud, that's okay. Pray out loud. Just want to take turns so we know who's praying. If you feel comfortable praying quietly, please go ahead and do that. After a few minutes, then I will close in prayer. And after that, I'll just ask the worship team to come forward. So let's pray. Dear God, our Father in heaven, how great you are, O Lord, and how great your mercy on us, and how thankful we are, Jesus, that you asked God to send the Holy Spirit to be our comforter, advocate, and helper. Lord, I ask for courage this morning, for boldness to share the gospel as you lead, to be your witnesses. We ask that the power of the Holy Spirit would shine in us, through us, Lord. And may we be your witnesses in high level, in Alberta and Canada and throughout the whole world. And Jesus, we pray in your holy name. Amen.